Amen. So there are some Sundays when the prospect of preaching fills me with a degree of trepidation, and they're the occasions when you lot might have strong feelings on the topic. So Sundays like Remembrance Sunday gives me kind of some nerves. And Mother's Day is another one of those occasions. And that's because people have a lot of feelings on a day like Mother's Day often. And so right from the start, before I get into the sermon, I want to acknowledge that many here sitting today may have those strong feelings. You know, we have all had or have mothers, but we'll all have had different experiences of that fact. For some, this is a day where we can easily celebrate the wonderful mums that we had. For others, this day will stir feelings of hurt or abandonment or grief. Those who are themselves mothers, they might feel great joy in that role, but also there might be feelings of guilt or anxiety or loss. It may be a complicated mixture of all those different feelings. And of course, there will be some who long to be a mum or who longed to be a mum, didn't get that opportunity, and there will be deep pain in that. Now, I can't possibly, in the course of this sermon, capture each and every experience of every one of you. But what I can say as I begin is this. Even if I don't speak to your situation this morning, God sees you. God sees you today. He sees what you're going through, what emotions are stirred by Mothering Sunday, Mother's Day. And he welcomes you, he welcomes all of us to come to him. In fact, let's come to him now in prayer as we begin, bringing those feelings that might be present in this room to God. Let's pray. Father God, we recognize this morning on this Mother's Day that for some it's a day of celebration, for some it's a day of mourning, for some it's just complicated. So Lord, we bring all of those feelings to you today. And I ask that you would meet each and every one of us wherever we're at. Amen. So I want to reflect on Mother's Day today in four segments: pain, love, guilt, and hope. Pain, love, guilt, hope. And to start with pain, I want to reveal to you that I have never directly experienced childbirth. I mean, I suppose I have in that I was born, but I have never given birth. And on balance, I think it's unlikely that I ever will. Now, I've heard that giving birth can be painful. And I've suggested to some of my friends who are mums that I, as a man, have experienced something of the pain of childbirth. You see, when I play football as a goalkeeper and I save the ball with perhaps a more sensitive part of myself, the intense, nausea-inducing pain of that experience, it's equivalent to giving birth. I won't tell you what my mum friends have said to me in response to that. Two things are clear: that giving birth to a child is painful, and that it is a pain that men have not experienced. And so in honoring mothers today, it's important to recognize and be real about the pain of motherhood. And of course, that pain doesn't just end with giving birth. Being a parent, and dads are included in this bit, it can be a painful journey. There are the worries that parents of newborns face about health, about feeding, about development. There's dealing with energetic toddlers who just won't sit down and be quiet. There are the stresses of raising teenagers, the hormones, the adolescent heartbreak. And even when a child is an adult, often mums will find themselves with worry or pain as they see their adult child making decisions that they struggle with, going through ill health or relationship breakdowns. Being a parent, being a mum, can be at times painful. And we heard in our gospel reading about how Simeon prophesies to Mary that a sword will pierce your soul too. A sword will pierce your own soul. Simeon was referring to Mary witnessing her son go to the cross and die. But actually, what mother doesn't know that experience in some way in relation to their child or children? That experience of the pain that Mary faced. It's important to acknowledge that pain and to say this: God sees you. In our New Testament reading, we heard that Paul saying to his church that God comforts us in all our troubles. So in the pain of parenthood, whenever that pain strikes, keep calling out to God. God sees us, God cares for us, and cares for your child more than you ever could, even though that's hard to imagine. If anyone can meet you in the pain of being a parent, it's God. After all, God knows the pain of being a parent. God the Father watched God the Son die on that cross as well. But when you think it through, all that pain does rather beg the question of why bother? Why put yourself through it? Why have kids? Obviously, at this point, I don't know that from personal experience, and I would love one day to have kids. But what I do have now is a fur baby, a dog. There should be a picture of, oh, look at that pup. Isn't he cute? I'm going to get distracted now. I have a dog. His name is Obi, and he's an absolute menace of a dog. He's a complete nightmare, and as soon as I got him, I fell totally in love. I would pretty much do anything for this wretched dog. I'd give up my kidney for him if he needed it, although he'd probably just eat it if I gave it to him. Even though he's just a ridiculous dog, I love him. And from speaking to my mum friends, at least the ones that are still speaking to me, it seems that in general, they just love their child. Often that love is immediate, at conception, at birth, really early on. Now, sometimes loving a child, it takes a while to get there. And that's a normal part of that journey as well. But eventually, sooner or later, there is love. They just love their child. Now, that is what it's all about. That's what being human is all about. Love. You know, us humans, we complicate things, don't we? We make things far more complex than they need to be. But time and again, the Bible affirms that it is all about love. God's love for us, our love for God, and our love for one another. Being a parent isn't the only way to show love to another. But it is one of those great avenues of love that God has created for us. Parenthood, friendship, marriage, those great avenues to show love. But we live in a culture that doesn't necessarily value love as the meaning of our lives. We live in a culture that it seems to suggest that the meaning of life is in our careers, is in how famous we are, is in how much money we have, how big our house is. But now we are made to love. That's what we're here for. I'm sure some of you will have seen this book. I think there's going to be a picture up on the screen of it. The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. Seen the book, maybe you've seen the TV adaptation of it. Out of interest, who has read the book, seen the TV show? Okay, for those who haven't, this is a must read. Obviously, the Bible is a must read, but this also is a must read. It is full of the most profound but gentle wisdom. And my favorite part of this book is when the boy asks the mole, what do you think success is? What do you think success is? And the mole responds, to love. What is success? To love. Yes, it's that simple. That is the meaning of life. There is no more exalted act, no greater success than to love. Now, of course, in practice, love isn't always simple, as parents will know. And here I want to give a shout out to my own mum. You see, in the eyes of the world, I don't think my mum would be thought of as particularly successful. She's not famous. She isn't wealthy. She doesn't have a high-powered career. She's not a social media influencer, thank goodness. And yet, if we base our definition of success on what Charlie Mackesy says in this book, which I believe is absolutely in line with the way God sees things, then my mum is a success. despite having for herself an incredibly difficult childhood, and despite the challenges of trying to raise her kids with my late father, who I loved, but who was himself challenging, she has loved me and my little brother unwaveringly. Even in the face of the enormous pain of the experience of raising me, and believe me, before I was a vicar, and actually still, I was a nightmare for my poor mum. And so to mums, I want to say this. In the eyes of God, you loving your children is the most profound and lasting success. I think God wants to say to loving mums, you are a success in my eyes. You are doing the very thing that humans were made to do, love. And again, being a mum isn't the only way to that success of love. It's not even the best way, it's just a way. But we need to honor mums for the incredible achievement that it is to love their kids. And yet, even as I celebrate mums in this way this morning, there will be some mums here who find feelings of guilt bubbling up, who are painfully aware of the times when they feel like they've not loved well, when they feel like they've made mistakes. Perhaps you think about how your children have turned out in life and it's not how you imagined, and you blame yourself for those things. You know, I speak to so many parents, and it is especially mums, who have heaped guilt on themselves for their perceived failings as parents. There's a writer called Mitch Albom, and he writes this. He writes, "All parents damage their children. It cannot be helped. Youth, like pristine glass, absorbs the prints of its handlers. Some parents smudge, others crack, a few shatter childhoods completely." And he's right. All parents will cause some damage to their children. Parents make mistakes. It's an inevitability. I mean, of course, parents don't get things right every time. See, if you're a mum today, when you came to motherhood, you came to it with your own challenges and your own baggage from your own childhoods. You came to it without experience, without qualifications to be a mother. You came to it without an instruction manual. And in fact, it's actually worse than that, because instead of a manual, you got an endless stream of contradictory advice from your own parents, from friends, from books, from the over 200 million websites that seem to be dedicated to making mums feel guilty about how they raise their kids. You know, always pick up babies when they cry. No, don't pick them up when they cry. Don't, in under any circumstances, compromise. Don't be flexible. No, be flexible. Make the rules a bit adaptable. Don't punish children. Talk to them. No, do punish them. They need to know the consequence. Oh my gosh. Mums are miracle workers, quite genuinely. It is a miracle that, faced with all of that, all of us don't end up completely and irreparably damaged. It is a hard thing to be a parent. But of course, love is powerful, even when that love comes from a flawed human being faced with all the ambiguities of parenthood. And so to any mums who are here today and they feel guilt about something in their parenting, I want to say two things. Firstly, as an adult child, speaking as an adult child with a mother, it becomes my responsibility to unpick the things that my parents got wrong. You know, 99 times out of 100, a mum will have done the best she could in the circumstances. A mum will have tried to love. Yes, mistakes will have been made. But when a child becomes an adult, they need to learn to take responsibility. And that isn't easy. I've gone through therapy as part of that process. I've had to work through some stuff around my parents, and they wouldn't mind me sharing that. But it is my responsibility to work through that. And my mum had to learn to let go of her guilt and let me take charge of sorting some of that stuff. So mums, don't hold on to your mistakes. Don't hold on to that guilt. Allow your adult children to work things through, because we've all got to do that for ourselves at some point. You did the best you could, so don't carry a burden that is not yours to bear. And secondly, where you as a mum may feel guilt because, you know, at times you've genuinely made a mistake and you regret that. I want to say that God forgives you. And so let me speak over all mums and indeed dads as well, the words of absolution from the communion service. God's words of forgiveness to anyone feeling that guilt. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Amen. God forgives the failures of parents. But of course, for children, sometimes forgiving your parents might be a longer journey. It was a journey for me, and to anyone here struggling to forgive a parent, I would just encourage you to reach out for help. Reach out for help with that process. You know, I'd feel privileged to listen and to pray with you. And beyond that, I'd encourage you to unpick some of that stuff, maybe with the help of a counselor. Okay, so I want to come into land now with a few final words of hope. Our readings today, they recognize the pain of motherhood. And in the pain of being a mum, there will have been and there will be tears. Whether those are the tears of sleep deprivation to any mums of little infants, or tears of worry, or tears of guilt, there will be tears. But the Bible has two hopeful things to say about God's response to our tears. One, in the beautiful words of Psalm 56, verse 8, the psalmist is talking to God and saying, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in a bottle. You have recorded each one in my book, in your book. Each tear you cry or have cried over your children is seen by God, collected by God. God sees every tear, every cry in the dark night. God, the one who knows the pain of parenthood, he identifies with you. He is there with you in that." That's the God of comfort that Paul talks about, who can bring comfort to you in your troubles. And sometimes he brings that comfort directly, even as you're praying. Sometimes he brings it through the shared experience of life together in the church. But God is there. God sees every tear you cry. Mothers, you will cry tears over your children in this life. Sometimes that will be over mistakes that you feel you've made. But the second hope, and the hope I want to end with, is the ultimate hope, the hope of redemption found in Revelation 21, verse 4. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Every tear, not some of them, every last one, every tear you cry over your children will be wiped away. Now, I don't know what that looks like. It is a great mystery to me. I don't know how God will make it so. But the Christian hope, the hope of Christ crucified and risen, is that it will be so. It will be so. As well as forgiving all of us for the mistakes we've made, God will redeem those mistakes. God will make all things new. When I've died and when my mum has died, we will meet again at the resurrection. And anything she got wrong and anything I got wrong will have been repaired and restored by the grace of God. So let's honor mums today. Let's pray for mums today and give thanks for them, for all they go through for the sake of their children, the pain, the love, the guilt. And let us look forward with that hope of every tear wiped away and all our family relationships renewed, restored, redeemed. Amen.